Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Vary Show is on the air.
What's up, my people? You know, I am your weatherman, Busta Rhymes. I've come today to give you your weather forecast. You know, today looks like one of those beautiful days. You know, to be perfectly honest, there ain't a cloud in the sky. You know, it's the kind of weather that you take your girl to the beach, lay her down and talk to her. Luther, step to the microphone.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something strange without a warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world is alright with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Ooh. Lovely day.
It's gonna
lovely day.
When the day that lies ahead of me seems impossible to face, when somebody else instead of me, yeah, always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world is so right with me. Yeah, just one look at you, and I know
salutations. Hopefully your day is off to a good start. We are happy and honored you are here with us. Typical monthly payment for a new vehicle hits a record high of $743 per month. Cox Automotive and Moody's Analytics say the average new car payment hit a record high of $743 a month in August. That figure is up 1.4% from July of $733. Kelley Blue Book reported last week, the average purchase price in the U.S. for a new vehicle rose for a fifth consecutive month, hitting a record high of $48,301 in August. It climbed 10.8% from August of 2021. Meanwhile, the prices of used cars and trucks are about 7.8% higher than they were in the same month of 2021. You know, yesterday, what should have been the biggest news and was practically ignored was that the Fed raised the interest rate by 0.75%. 0.75% doesn't sound like a lot in the abstract. It's less than even 1%. If a guy gives you 1% effort, he didn't even show up. So it's even less than that. It doesn't sound like much. 0.75% interest rate by the Fed increase is going to make a dramatic difference in our economy, which is their intention. Now, I know you know this, but not everybody does, and it's a simple notion that gets bandied about, and I think that a basic momentary lesson in the fundamentals of economics is in order here. Whenever there is too much money supply in the economy, prices increase, and it naturally happens. If everybody has $100 in their pocket and the baker sells a loaf of bread for a dollar, but the baker can only make 20 in a day and only about 20 people want a loaf of bread or so, then that dollar is kind of where it levels out. That becomes the price. Price is not what you want it to be. It's what a willing buyer and a willing seller will agree to transact the deal at. Well, let's say those same 20 buyers still want their loaf of bread, but now the same set of buyers now all have $2. But there are 20 willing buyers and 10 people who'd like to, but it's been too expensive. Now you start setting off a price war. And let's say somebody says, hey, I want 2 loaves of bread, not just one. And I'll give you $4 for that. Well, now the next guy has to outbid him. It becomes an auction and the price bids up. When you have more money supply in the economy, you create a situation where people have more money, a lot of people have more money, and they start being willing to bid higher. That drives the prices up. And you say, well, that's because those evil business owners just want to make money. Most of those evil business owners are not making more money in this environment because they're having to pay more for the price of goods, including labor. Labor is the X factor in the current economy. Ask anybody what their biggest challenge in business is right now. What would be their biggest challenge today versus the last 20 years? And they will tell you, labor. It was supply chain. Some of that's been worked out. And some of that is the change in expectations. For home builders, they were accustomed to when they needed a new door, new windows, new hardware, they just call it up and have it driven over. They call now and they say, it's going to be 7 months. Well, but I got this house that you don't understand. It's a $4 million custom home. I got to have that door. Nothing we can do. Ask the supply houses how hard that's been. Well, the supply chain, this also didn't get a lot of attention. The supply chain decline or delays meant that people started saying, hey, you're only going to get one of those in next month. Will you move me from third in the line to first? Because if we will, I'll pay you a 25% premium. Because otherwise, I got to pay a 35% penalty. Now, here is the problem with the interest rate increase. When there's too much money in the economy, the money supply, this was what quantitative easing was. They went into the strip club and they made it rain. They just threw money everywhere. So the Fed finally says the economy is overheated. It's just not healthy. So in order to pull some of that money out, to tighten the supply of cash, you raise the interest rate. So if you go apply for a home loan now, as of a week ago, it's going to cost you almost an entire percentage point more. Just go online right now and put in a home loan of $300,000 and add one point of percentage interest to it and see what that does to a monthly payment.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do save every day till eternity passes away.
So Several weeks ago, I got a press release about an organization that had been formed called Stop Houston Murders PAC, Political Action Committee. And it said Chuck Cook, treasurer. And attached to the press release, it went to all media, was a story about how with this upcoming election, Republicans, Democrats, independents, nonpartisans, citizens were banding together for maximum impact because the all-Democrat criminal court judiciary, there is one Republican now, Greg Abbott was able to appoint a replacement for a judge that stepped down, but basically up until very recently, you can say the entire judiciary, which means you can say it's the Democrats who've been doing this, have been releasing murderers to commit more murders. So I asked Brad Gloria, our Baron of Booking, to track down Chuck Cook and get him on the air. Who's behind this organization? Who are these people? Why are they doing this? I did not realize at the time that Chuck Cook was the son of the woman who was murdered last year, 80-year-old woman, as she's coming out of a CVS on a Saturday morning. Terrible story. So he and a lot of other people said, enough is enough. We're not going to stand for this any longer. We're not going to sit idly by and just pray the rosary and hope that the election turns out the way we hope it will. We're going to get involved. We're going to tell our stories. We're going to make people look us in the face and see what we're suffering through the loss of our loved ones needlessly. Well, that was the first spot, and here was the second spot that came out, and you may have heard it on these very airwaves.
My name is Lourdes Medina, and my mother was Martha Medina. She was a good woman and a good mother, and she was brutally murdered last year in a parking lot. Her accused killer had already been charged with capital murder. He was able to kill my mother because a Democrat judge had let him out on bail. I'm a Democrat myself, but life is more important than a political party. So I decided to do something. I joined Stop Houston Murders. These Democrat judges have created a revolving door that let even violent suspects out of jail and back on the streets. Their policies have led to the murder of nearly 200 innocent people, family, friends, and neighbors. We all pay the price for Democrat judges' deadly catch and release policies. So I'm asking you, please restore law and order to our city. Vote out all Democrat judges.
Political ad paid for by Stop Houston Murders PAC, Chuck Cook, treasurer.
Lourdes Medina is our guest. Lourdes?
Yes, hi. Good morning.
First of all, thank you for being bold enough to step out from anonymity and step into the public eye. It's not easy to do for most people. And from what I've heard, based on a question I asked of some of the people who've been involved since you got involved, or since before you got involved, this was not easy for you to do.
Right. It's not.
Tell me, first of all, tell me what happened to your mother. Tell me about that day.
Well, it was, I believe it was a Thursday, September 23rd last year. She and I visited each other regularly, especially in the mornings for breakfast. And she wanted to come over
to
my
house. Wait, hold on, Lourdes. Lourdes, you had me there. What was breakfast?
Breakfast was, for her, it was getting something from McDonald's. She loved their biscuits. She loved their coffee. She loved it very much. And I would sometimes cook something for breakfast here, but
like what?
She really liked McDonald's.
What would you cook?
Like it was her regular was a sausage biscuit with cheese and a small coffee.
Do y'all live together?
And she told me she, no, we didn't. I'm married. I have a now almost 3-year-old toddler. So I have my own house, but we lived 10 minutes away, maybe. Okay. That is the reason why we spent a lot of time together and really hung out a lot.
Was she by herself?
She lived with my father.
Oh, okay. All right.
When this happened, she was by herself, but she lived with my father. My father happened to be out of the country at that time that this tragedy happened.
Okay. All right. So on that day, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Right. On that day, she told me she was going to go by the bank real quick. She didn't tell me she was going to get off or anything. And then she told me, and then I'm going to go and grab some McDonald's and head over to your house. I told her it was fine. And I got up and everything, started getting my baby ready, my toddler. And I noticed she was taking a very long time, which was very unusual for her. She was always very punctual. She would tell you she was going to be there at a certain time, and she was there. And I just thought maybe she had gone behind with something at the bank or something, and decided to call her to let her know, hey, forget about McDonald's. I'll cook something here for breakfast for both of us. But when I made that call, it wasn't her answering her cell phone at the other line. It was an employee from McDonald's. I'm sorry, who was very distraught and stressed. I could tone her voice, and immediately, I mean, as soon as someone else answered that it wasn't her, I knew something was not right. And then this person, the employee, asked me, who are you? And I said, I told her my name, and I told her, she's like, are you her friend? Are you? I'm like, no, I'm her daughter. And that's when she told me, your mom. And I think she was distraught herself. She didn't even know how to tell me. And she just said, your mom. And I was like, what happened? What happened to my mom? It seemed like I couldn't get the words out fast enough from her. And she said, all she said was, he took her purse. And when she said that, I knew something very bad had gone wrong. And I said, how is she? Where is she? And she's like, she was ran over. In my mind, I thought, okay, she got ran over. Like, she didn't even say, I don't think she even said ran over. She just said she got hit by a car. In my mind, I thought, it's a McDonald's. I was like, how fast can a car go in a McDonald's? So I thought maybe she got hit, but it's not something, you know, that I should worry a lot. And I told her, and she said, don't worry, she's still alive, but they're taking her in an ambulance right now. So I got her to ask the paramedics, where were they going? And they told me the hospital, believe it was Bentop. So I hung up with her, and I just told her to hold her cell phone. And I immediately got a hold of my brother and then my sister. And my brother just drove by my house, picked me up. We went directly to Bentop to look for her. When we got there, my sister was already there because she works close to Bentop. She was able to get there faster than we did. And when we got there, they pulled us, all three of us, in a room full of doctors. And in my mind, I still thought, and I remember thinking, why so many doctors? You know, but in my mind, I thought, well, maybe there's a surgery going on and there's been complications. And then they each presented themselves and they said, we have a chaplain here. And in my mind, it still didn't click. I guess I was like, a chaplain, like, why a chaplain? And then they started going over all the description of what had happened. They told us that my mom was in an ambulance and that by the time she arrived at the hospital, she already had a low pulse, and that they tried to do everything they could to save her. And they couldn't do anything for her. It's been the hardest thing in my life to hear. My world just shattered. It broke. Bye.
Hold on just a moment, please. Stay right there, Lotus.
The Michael Berry Show.
Please clap. Please clap. Clap.
I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. thepipeyardinc.com. 409-788-PIPE. 409-788-PIPE. Lourdes Medina is our guest. Lourdes, I'll just let you pick up exactly where you left off.
Oh, thank you. As I was saying, we got the news at the hospital, and it was just unbelievable. I remember I stayed quiet. It's like my mind was trying to accept what I had just heard. I think I was in shock. I remember my sister started crying and crying, and I think my brother was the same as I was because we were both quiet. And they asked us if we wanted to be alone, and we said yes. And I remember standing in that room with my other two siblings and just trying to figure out what we had just heard. Like, we didn't know if we could not believe it. And then came, you know, then came, how are we going to tell our father? Because he was not here at that time, and he's diabetic. So he has that health issue to deal with. And we wanted to figure out how to bring him back from, at that time he was in Mexico, how to bring him back from Mexico by himself. We didn't want this to cause anything bad in his health. So we tried to figure out who to tell first, how to do it. And I remember my brother called my cousins in Mexico and broke the news to them. They too, of course, could not believe it. I mean, it was just so unexpected. And they helped us to figure out how to get my dad in a system of transportation, a bus, to come back to Houston. We brought him with a big lie, and we had to tell him that she had been robbed, that they took her purse, and that she got hit by a car, but that she was still alive. We had to say that, otherwise we didn't know how he was going to react and in order for his blood sugar not to spike. So that's how he came back. He came back thinking that she was still alive and that she was only in the hospital having complications. So he was calling us on his way home every so often. How's your mother doing? How's your mother doing? And we kept continuing and telling lies, because that was the only way to make sure that he got here safe. So when he finally did get here, we all went to pick him up. And I think that right there immediately was a sign to him that something wasn't right, because it was not our norm for all of us to go pick him up whenever he came back from somewhere else. It was just usually one of us. So he said, wow, that's a miracle. All of you guys are here. Like, what's going on? And we just said, nothing. You know, we just wanted to come and be all here for you. And then he's like, well, I want to go see your mother. That's the first thing he said. And that's when we had to break it down for him. And thank God my sister was smart enough to have a Coke on her hand, because that's what we give him if, you know, if his blood sugar goes down immediately. And he had to use it. And, you know, he was in disbelief and started crying. And he's like, how did this happen? And we had to retell the story of how it happened. We all drove back home to my parents' house. And that was the first time that I stepped into their house without her being there. And it felt horrible. It felt horrible. It was an emptiness and hollowness. And we went straight to her bedroom. And I remember we all hugged. My dad just plummeted to bed where she used to sleep. And then we all hugged and cried together. That was the first time that we all cried together for her. it's been very hard after that. You know, my aunts, I have two aunts that live in Mexico, her sisters, they were given the news too because they both are elderly people. And they're older than her. So, we all in our heads, we always think, I guess that's just how usually it goes. And it's common sense to think that way, that the older are always going to go before us. Mm-hmm. It's not
that's
like
how
that.
It's supposed to be.
Sure. And that's how it's supposed to be. Exactly. And so it was a hard thing for them also. And they were able to come, thank God. And they were here with us for the viewing, for the funeral. And my father, I remember when it happened, it was a Thursday morning. It was around, I want to say 10:20. I'm sure it happened because I still remember when I called, it was around 10:30. And we had that whole Thursday to ourselves to kind of try to absorb what had happened. But my father got back to Houston on the next day, I believe. So by that day, we were already getting contacted by the news. Our friends and family had found out. They were all coming to visit and give their condolences. So he really didn't have time to absorb all of this in. It was very, very hard those first weeks. I'm glad and thankful that we had so much support from friends and family. Everybody was so supportive. Everybody tried to show us that they were there for us. But I never, never thought I would lose my mother so soon and in this way. It was very unexpected, and I still live with it. I still suffer the consequences. It's very hard. It took a lot of months for me to accept that this had happened. Especially because I think from all three of us at that time that this happened, I guess I can say I was closer to her because I'm right now I'm a stay at home mom, and I was me and her were visiting each other a lot, and she was spending time with her grandbaby.
Laura, this hold with me for just a moment. I want to get to why you came to my attention, and that is because the man who killed your mother was out on bond for another capital murder case. And Lourdes Medina said, enough, and she has come forward. Talk about that coming up.
You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm, kept me warm.
That awful moment. Look, we're all going to lose our parents at some point. That's just going to happen, and we know it. But we expect that to happen naturally. We don't want them murdered. And then, Lourdes, after you find out that Andrew Williams and his accomplice ran over your mother and killed her and left her there for her purse. Of all things, that Andrew Williams was out on bond from another capital murder case when he did this. You're already emotionally distraught, but what goes through your mind at that moment?
Wow. so much rage, so much anger. I was so angry. All of us were. And I could not believe how someone was out on bond on capital murder. Like, how does that happen? That doesn't even make sense. It does not make sense in my head. So I wanted to know how that had happened. And we started informing ourselves. We started investigating who was behind all of this. And we learned who the judge was and why he and how he was out on bond. And we were enraged. We were angry. At that moment, I felt that I had to raise my voice because I honestly, before this happened with my mother, I did not know how much of a problem this was in our county. I was not aware. When this happened, it's like my eyes, I felt like my eyes were open to a huge problem that I did not know existed. And I knew that there was so many people like me in Harris County that were not aware of what was going on. So I felt like it was my duty, my responsibility, and honor to my mother to raise my voice, to tell my story so people could start to notice and hear what was going on in our county with all these judges, because it was not just a judge that let my mom out. I started hearing about other cases, and I was just thinking, how can this be happening? And someone is not saying something about it. How is it not more in the open? And after that, the crime continued. I think it has been escalating for the past year. It's like the daily bread for criminals. And that's when I decided to join this PAC, StopHoustonMurders.com. I was drawn to them because they showed true empathy and concern for what was happening or for what's going on with all these judges letting criminals out on bond. And they had the same view that I did and the same interest. They basically want to get the message out to the public to let them know what's going on and that as citizens, we can do something about it. And that is through our vote. So when I knew about this PAC and I realized that we had a common interest, I decided to join them and to use my story, to use my mother's story to get the word out there about what's going on. Because if anything, my mom was one of those persons that would not stay quiet. She was the kind of person to do and say the right things when they had to be said without being afraid. And not only because of that, but because I have a family and I still have family members too of my mom's age. And I certainly do not want to go through this again. I don't want anybody else to go through this again. It's just crazy how this catch and release reform that Democrats are using, how in the world did they even think in the first place that that was going to work? And then just describe us as collateral victims. Like, really, that's what we are to you? To me, it's like unfortunately, we voted for you. We put you in that position. And I just feel like this, like, lately, criminals have more rights than citizens do. And we are the ones that pay taxes. And we are the ones that are doing the right thing. We're not out there trying to rob or kill anyone.
Lourdes, let me ask you a question.
But they are. That is their job.
In your testimony that has now been broadcast across the radio and has received a lot of attention, you say, I'm a Democrat. But these Democrats are letting these killers out, and I care more about what's right than I do party. And so I'm asking you to vote out these Democrats. How hard was that for you to do and say?
Honestly, it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard. I did consider myself a Democrat for a very long time. Since this has happened, it has made me question my beliefs. It has made me question how much I know about the system, how much I know, I really know about who I'm choosing and the leaders and everything. It hasn't been hard because I truly want a change. I want a change. I want strong leadership back in office. I want people and leaders that are not afraid to implement the right laws, to do the right thing, to keep all of us safe. I don't want leaders that are on the side of criminals, being soft on them and thinking, oh, they deserve another chance. Oh, they deserve another opportunity. These criminals have shown over and over again, they're not interested in making a change. And these Democrats have already been in office for, I don't know, 4 years. And what have they done for us? I mean, I started looking in all of it, and it doesn't look right. It wasn't hard for me to say that because I truly want a change. I want strong leadership back in our office, and I want Houston to be the way it was before all of this started happening. And like I said, that is the reason why I joined Stop Houston Murders, because I saw that as the common ground, that we all have the same interest.
Laura, we can't bring back your sweet mother. But maybe you can save somebody else's. Thank you for being willing to step forward and tell your story. Maybe something good can come out of this. That's my prayer. For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.